We've been preaching through a series on social justice, and next week we're going to wrap the series up, and one of our Alliance International workers, Josh Blanchard, is going to join us, is going to Zoom in and be preaching and sharing. Josh and Jacqueline live in Cambodia. They're still in Cambodia. They are Americans, but Josh is a joint passport holder. He spent a lot of his life here in Australia. His parents were church planting here in the Australian Alliance, and they have been working in Agape House, Agape Ministries, which is a ministry rescuing kids and women out of sex trafficking, and it seemed to be an appropriate thing to have someone ministering as Josh is sharing with us and to end our series on social justice. As we come to open God's word, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you, God, that yes, despite all that's going on, we can worship you together as your people, as the body of Christ, as Southside. And Lord, we do continue to look to you. We need you. And here, even now, as we open your word together, we ask, Father, that you, God, would speak into our lives. By the power of your Spirit, speak, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been having an interesting conversation at our house, and it's been repeated a couple of times. It goes something like this. What was that? Can you hear it? And you see, we just keep hearing this noise, but couldn't actually work out where it was coming from, let alone what it was. At one point, I thought it was possums. We have possums in the trees around our house, and they delight in doing laps across the roof. But no, it wasn't the possums. It sounded different. It took a while to finally work it out. You know what it was? Mice. We had some mice in our house. Now I suspect I know what you were thinking. Are you honestly telling me you can't tell the difference between a possum and a mouse? Now, in my defense, let me say it wasn't clear cut. It was confusing. I had to really listen hard. I had to take the time to train my ear to hear. And that's true, isn't it, of all sorts of situations. I mean, language, you've got to train your ear to hear. Music, exactly the same. You've got to train your ear to hear. And that is true when it comes to social justice. In recent times, there has been a lot of noise from all sorts of directions. And let's be honest, it can be very confusing. There is just so much noise. And in the midst of all the noise, I find myself wondering, what does God hear? More often than not, if you want to hear what God hears, you need to listen beyond the noise. You need to listen hard. A good friend of ours is Jeff Bennett, and Jeff was an Alliance worker in Indonesia. But before that, he studied at the London Conservatorium of Music. He was trained to be an opera singer, and it was there that he came to Christ. And on one occasion, I was having a conversation with Jeff. Jeff is an amazing, was amazing, is amazing, an amazing tenor. And I said to Jeff on one occasion, yeah, I can't sing. I'm tone deaf. To which Jeff said, no, you're not tone deaf. You're just lazy. From his perspective, I needed to train my ear to listen. We need to stop being lazy and train our ears to hear what it is God hears. We're exploring what the Bible says about social justice. The first time the concept appears in the Bible is really interesting. In Genesis 12, God calls Abraham and gives him his life mission. He told him he was going to be the father of a great nation, that he, God, was going to bless him, that he might be a blessing, that all peoples on earth would be blessed through him. And let's remember, that is God's call to us. We who are the children of Abraham by faith, as the Apostle Paul puts it. Yes, we who have believed in Jesus are part of God's mission to bless all peoples on earth. Let's pick up with Abraham in Genesis 18, where we see once again God appears to him. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. When the men got up to leave, though God and the angels who were visiting Abraham, when the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The context is that God is on his way to Sodom. Now, this was just a photo I found. If you're able to identify the city, I'm not suggesting that city beyond all other cities is Sodom. God was on his way to Sodom. Christopher Wright, the Old Testament biblical scholar and missiologist, describes Sodom as a model of human society at its worst and of the inevitable and comprehensive judgment of God on such wickedness. It was a place filled with oppression, cruelty, violence, perverted sexuality, idolatry, pride, greedy consumption, and void of compassion or care for the needy. It all sounds very familiar, doesn't it? And this is the context of Abraham's mission. This was the place where Abraham was called to be a blessing. These were the people God wanted to bless through him.
Close the garage door, Papa.
What is helpful for you?
Did you close the garage door?
Someone's got their mic on, and if you could turn it on, that would be really helpful. What is helpful for us here is how God unpacks what being a blessing, what being on mission looks like. Verse 19, to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Now, on previous weeks, we've talked about this word just, the Hebrew word, which comes from the Hebrew word mishpot, which at its core means equal, to treat everyone the same, especially the vulnerable. And often, as we do here in Genesis 18, we find the word right, like a pair of twins, justice and righteousness, right and just. The Hebrew word here is tzedakah. And it comes from a word basically means straight, a straight path. And we get from this Hebrew word our English words righteous and righteousness. Now, when we hear those words, we most commonly think of my personal righteousness, my personal morality. But in Hebrew, it has a social dimension. It is a life of right relationships. Tim Keller explains, doing right is day-to-day living in which a person the day-to-day living in which a person conducts all relationships with fairness, generosity, and equity. And so being on God's mission involves doing justice and righteousness and focusing on how we treat others, that we treat all people the same, that we treat all people right. And isn't that what we see in the coming of Jesus? When Jesus came to the synagogue and as is recorded in Luke 4, he's handed the scriptures, he reads from Isaiah, and it's the declaration of his intent. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. There is something else we need to notice here in Genesis 18. Everything that is going on, God going to Sodom, his eventual judgment of the city and his rescuing of Lot and his family out of the city, and God's unpacking of Abraham's mission happens because of what God hears. Verse 20, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great. The Hebrew word translated outcry here is a technical word for the cry of pain or the cry for help from those who are being oppressed or violated. We hear it often in the Old Testament. Possibly the most graphic use of the word is in Deuteronomy 22. It is the scream for help by a woman being raped. The Message paraphrases verse 19 like this. The cries of the victims in Sodom and Gomorrah are deafening. The sin of those cities is immense. I'm going down to see for myself. See if what they're doing is as bad as it sounds. Then I'll know. This is really important for us to grasp what's going on here. You see, the motivation of God's mission in the world is not because he is angry and hates sin. Yes, God is angry. And yes, God hates sin and the impact it has had on his beautiful creation. And yes, God is the judge of all the world. And yes, God will pour out his wrath on sinful people. But that is not his primary motivation. It is the cry of the victims. God's mission in the world is the outworking of his mercy. To quote Jesus, his mercy for the poor, the prisoners, the blind, and the oppressed. Our message to the world is God has heard your cry of pain and suffering. God wants to rescue you. That's what the cross is all about. The calling of Abraham was a rescue mission. The coming of Jesus was a rescue mission. In the 8th century BC, the descendants of Abraham had become two nations, Judah and Israel. And instead of being God's missional people in the world, they had drifted away from God. Their lives were full of idolatry, self-interest, wickedness and oppression, abuse, oppressive abuse of the vulnerable. They had stopped being just and right. Again, it all sounds scarily familiar, doesn't it? And God at that time raises up prophets to speak. Sorry. And God raises up that time prophets to speak to the people. Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, Micah. And what I want to do is read from these prophets. And as I read some of them, listen to God's word. And as you listen to this word, to God's drifting people, ask God to help you hear his heart, to hear the outcry he hears. Amos 2. This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not relent. They sell the innocent for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. Amos 5. I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Isaiah 5. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Isaiah 9, a prophecy concerning the coming of Emmanuel, the Messiah. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And Isaiah 58 is interesting because the people are complaining because they are fasting, but God isn't answering them. And so God speaks, verse 6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn. And your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. And then Micah, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly. And to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So where to from here? Let me make some suggestions as we wrap this up. Can I encourage you to spend time in God's Word? We've looked at lots of scriptures over the last few weeks. Maybe begin with the scriptures we have looked at today. Because as we spend time in God's Word, that is how God the Holy Spirit shapes our understanding, changes our view, conforms us to the image of God. So can I encourage you to allow God's Word to speak into your life? And in doing that, secondly, intentionally ask God to show you his heart of mercy, to reveal himself to you as the one who is just and righteous, who longs to see justice and righteousness on the earth. And then thirdly, allow the Holy Spirit to take you into your neighborhood, our city, our country, the nations. And ask God to help you hear the outcry. Now, let me say that's not easy and that's messy. But that's part of the journey. Ask God to help us hear the outcry that he hears. And then finally, ask God to show you what you can do, what I can do. What can we do? In the midst of all the noise, what can we do? What does God want us as individuals? What does God want us as a church to do? Let me pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you, in your grace, your mercy, that you, eternal God, clothed yourself in humanity, that you came and dwelt among us, the God of justice and righteousness, that you reached out to a broken world, that you forgave sinners, that you healed, you restored, you set captives free. We thank you for your mercy to us, that you found us. And we acknowledge, Lord, that yes, as the children of Abraham, as your blood-bought children, we share in your mission, Father. And we're simply asking you, Lord, to do some surgery in our hearts and our minds, in our ears, that we might hear the outcry. And Lord, it's overwhelming. It's just too hard. It's too painful. But Lord, you've put us here in this place at this point in time. And we are just simply asking in our own brokenness and our own inadequacies, Lord, what do you want us to do? Father, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.